All right. Go ahead and get started. A couple preliminary slides here that I always do. This is where you can find reference if you want to. The whole 14th chapter here. Okay, so then, my brethren, be zealous to prophesy, and do not forbid to be speaking with tongues. And we do not. We do practice what the Word says. Also tonight, we're doing everything, as we always do, out of the Emphasized Bible, Rotherham Bible, Literal Translation. Recommend it. If you haven't got one, you do. And a lot of the notes that you can get or reference that you can go to is the TeliosMinistries.com webpage. This is the address for it. And it will give you a lot of resources as well. Also, we support the Joshua Generation there. This is the missions in Africa. And so this is nonprofit. If you want to contact or contribute this, there's a link on here if you go to joshuagen.org. And we'll get started here. All right. So when we look at the stars, this is a picture there through one of the telescopes that they have. I don't know where, but the thing I want to show here tonight, because this is kind of a celebration to Christ, the coming of Christ. As we go through this, a lot of this is Old Testament that I'm going to be doing here tonight. But astronomers estimate that the observable universe has more than 100 billion galaxies. Okay, a galaxy. Okay, 100 billion. Our own Milky Way is home to around 300 billion stars. The Word says they're named. Yahweh named them. Yeah. Think about how long it would take. Adam and Eve, when they go through to name the animals, how tough that would be to do. Yahweh named the stars. Okay, and this is what we see. We don't see it all. We scratch the surface on this. So the thing that I thought was really cool as I was going through and I was preparing for this teaching tonight is a couple things. When we look in the Word, how much is told about the creation and the stars? There's a little bit. There's not a significant amount about it. And yet there is tons of them. I mean, it's too many for us to count. The purpose of the luminaries, four purposes. So let's start off here in the first chapter of Genesis. First chapter, verses 14 through 18. On page 34. Okay, starting in 14 through 18, and I'll read this. And Elohim said, "Let there be luminaries in the expanse of the heavens to divide between the day and night, and let them be four," and here's your four things. Here's what the luminaries are for. They are for signs, for seasons, for the days of the years, and divide, obviously the first one is divide between the day and night. That's one. The signs, two. Seasons, three. And for days of the year. Yea, let them be luminaries in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth. And it was so, and Yahweh or Elohim made the two great luminaries, the greater luminary to rule the day, obviously the sun, and the lesser luminary to rule the night, the moon, also the stars. And Yahweh or Elohim set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. Okay, this is it. This is the when we talk about the stars, the creation of how we've done this, there's not a whole lot. Now, there are other places where it's talked about, and in Psalms it talks about that with the naming of the stars, but it does not go into detail. It does not give a whole lot of definition to it. And so what they're there for is immense. I mean, when we look out, this should be to us, it should almost be a covenant when you look out at the stars, that you see this and it reminds you that they're all named, and yet what we're getting to is to Christ. We're working our way to Christ. So, the stars also. This is out of Appendix 12 from the Companion Bible. Okay? And this also came from Telios Ministries. If you click on the Rotherham Bible, you can go to the appendices, and it will show you all these. And this is in 12, and this is called the stars also. It says, in the first mention of the heavenly bodies, the purpose of the Creator is clearly stated. Genesis 1, 14 through 19 reveals the fact that they were created not only to divide the day from the night, to give light upon the earth, but they were set for signs and for seasons and for days of the years. This figure, Polysyndeton, emphasizes these four purposes and bids us single them out to consider them separately and independently. They are for signs, and this is Hebrew oth, okay? To come. Signs, therefore, of something or someone to come. Those those who understand them are enlightened by them. Those who do not will be dismayed. Part two of that, continuing down the next paragraph of it. The stars are numbered and named. There are 12 signs of the zodiac called the stars in Genesis 37:9, 11 of which bowed down to Joseph the 12th. The word zodiac means the degrees or steps which mark the stages of the sun's path through the heavens, corresponding with the 12 months. The stars were all named by Yahweh in Psalms 147:4 is where it talks about that they were named. Most of the names have been lost, but over 100 are preserved through the Arabic and Hebrew and are used by astronomers today, though their meaning is unknown to them. Many of them are used in scripture as well, somewhat speculative, for example, and then it goes into some other stuff with that. Okay, but this is what I want to say. So what I want to show is that even with this, the expanse of the stars and the galaxies, and you think about our galaxy, okay, and there's over 100 billion galaxies, and our galaxy has 3 billion, and our Creator made this, and yet, of all the things, what did He want? What was His whole purpose? Is to fellowship with us. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's what we're going to look at. Let's go to Exodus 25. Exodus 25, and somebody can help me read on this here. We're going to be on page 108. Do you want to read?
Yep.
It's nine verses. You good with it?
Yep.
Okay.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, that they take for me a heaven offering.
A heave offering.
A heave offering of every man whose heart ungrace him, shall ye take my heave offering. And this of heave offering ye, which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and bronze, and blue and purple and crimson, and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin dyed red and badger skin and acacia wood, oil for giving light, perfumes and for the anointing oil and for fragrant incense, oxen, stones and setting stones for ephod and for the
breastpiece.
So shall they make for me a sanctuary, and I will make my habitation in their midst, according to all that I am showing thee the pattern of habitation and the pattern of all
the furnishings.
Furnishings thereof, even so shall ye make it.
That's good. Thank you, honey. That's it. And so this is it. This is Yahweh. Okay. And if you read that right prior to the beginning of 25, Moses is instructed to make a sanctuary, holy garments, and to consecrate Aaron and his sons to minister as priests. Okay. And so what we're seeing there, when you look in 8, so they shall make for me a sanctuary, and I will make habitation in their midst. And this is what Yahweh wanted. In the garden with Adam and Eve, it was so that He could fellowship with them, and did. Okay? And this is the whole intent. This is what Yahweh wanted. And so when we look through here, kind of keep this in mind, there are 50 chapters on the building of the temple. Okay? And they're explicit. They go into great detail on how to do this and how to put this together for Yahweh. There's not 50 chapters. There's not 50 verses on the creation of the billions of galaxies and stars. Okay, but there's 50 chapters on building the temple and the sanctuary to Yahweh for Him to dwell amongst us. And so when we think about that, it's important. And that's why I say, when you look at the stars, it's almost important to have that as a covenant, to where it's a reminder that, for crying out loud, I am more important than one of these galaxies is. Yahweh wants to be with me, not in the galaxies. So, as we go through here, 16 chapters in Exodus on the building of the sanctuary of Yahweh, and this is the first one. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. It's going to be on page 197. All right. Chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, starting on the top right, 197. Okay. Hence then, no longer are ye strangers and sojourners, but ye are fellow citizens of the saints, and members of the household of Yahweh, having been built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, therefore being the chief cornerstone, Yahushua Christ, or Mashiach, Jesus Christ himself, in whom an entire building, in process of being fitly joined together, in growing into the holy shrine of Yahweh, in whom ye also are being builded together, into a habitation of Yahweh in spirit. Okay, and this is it. And so as we go through here, obviously we all know this, but what happened with this, and I'm going to kind of show some of the significance to the temple and to what happened when the temple was finished, so that you can see this. Because a lot of times I think we read it and we know the stories, but we don't put the two together, the assimilation between the two. Tabernacle is where Yahweh dwelt with man for hundreds of years, and it was a movable structure. And so the structure that you see was moved some 30 times. And what would happen is the cloud over it, the cloud by day, the fire by night would move, and they would pick up and go with it. That's where they would end up going, by night and by fire by day. The cloud would raise and would begin to move. Their job was to tear down the tabernacle. There's specific instructions on here on how to do it and who was to do what. It's interesting because as we go through it, I'm kind of jumping a little bit ahead, but one of the interesting things that you see in here is the Ark of the Covenant was sacred, was very sacred. And what would happen is you had to carry it by the staves. The staves were what was carried. You were not allowed to touch it. There were people who tried to peer into it. And what happened to them? They died. That's right. What happened to the person who tried to catch it? Okay. For one, it should never have been on the cart.
Yeah.
It should not have been on the cart. For two, you can't touch it. If you were going to do anything, you could have grabbed the stave, but you cannot touch it. This was a holy thing. And who would see it? Yeah, nobody saw it. I mean, when it was built, people would see it. But as we go through here, we're going to see how this was put together and some of the orchestration of how the high priest would go in. When they traveled, they would cover it with the skins. They would cover it with the skins to keep it protected. Some 8,500 men were specifically assigned task in the process of carrying it. And here's a picture here to kind of show. But as you're thinking about this, you're thinking of, it's not something that, you know, like you think of the temple in Jerusalem that's, you know, built of rock and just really heavy duty and just really elegant. And this was a mobile temple. And so from the outside, you see a basically, you know, rectangular thing with the linens and everything else. And it doesn't really look like much. It doesn't look like much on the outside. But on the inside was the holy, and then on the inside of it was the Holy of Holies. And so as we go through here, it was very specific on how it was to be built. And Yahweh gave them the directions and the dimensions. And think about this. I can't remember when I go to the store, six things if Donna tells me to buy. I'll get there and walk through the door and I forgot them all. And it was revealed to Moses on how to do it, the dimensions, what it would look like. And you think about it, a perfect mind picture, and then comes back and the wisdom was also relayed to the craftsmen as well. That they would get the pictures and be able to see it too. So they would know exactly what it was. They would make this exactly to the dimensions and the specifications of Yahweh. In my belief, I think because the wisdom that was passed to them, they saw what it was supposed to look like. They saw the finished product. You know, kind of like me when I assemble something, I have to set the box out in front of me. So, okay, that's what it's supposed to look like. Anyway, surrounded by millions of Jews, white linen fence inside was the brazen altar, the laver, and the structure was 45 by 15 by 15. Okay? The numbers are extremely important how it's put together. They really are. The numbers with the temple of 5 was very repetitious within that. Okay, it is in two compartments on the inside of the actual structure, separated by a veil. The first is the holy place with the golden lampstand, table of showbread, and the altar of incense. Who could go into this place?
The priest.
Just the priest. That's correct. Just the priest. Now, inside the linen fenced area, the common folk could go inside. Only the priest could go into the holy place. That was it. The only person who could go into the Holy of Holies was the high priest, and it was one time a year, okay? And it was very specific on how he had to do it as well. The second is the Holy of the Holies, a perfect cube of 15. So 15 feet high, 15 feet by 15 feet, okay? The 3 by 5, basically, is a good way to remember that, because 3 is divine perfection, and 5 is divine grace. So anyway, so it's pretty cool when you look at that. Where did the furnishings come from to make the tabernacle? And this is the big thing when we do this. You know, as I was going through and preparing for this, I was thinking about Aaron's teaching that he did last time about that Yahweh will give it to who he pleaseth. Picture the building of this and all the furnishings that Yahweh's going to have for his dwelling. Where did they come from? They came from the Egyptians. The skins came from the Egyptians. They loaded them up with all their treasures. Now, can you imagine that? They've just gone through all this crises that they put themselves in, and then they give away all their treasures on the way out to these people who are leaving. And this is what. But what happens prior to this? This is the disgrace. What happened to all those jewels and all those things prior to this? Is they were going to melt them down for some false idol to worship.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is Yahweh's house. Yeah. What they did with Yahweh's house, what Yahweh wanted to do with this, they did something first on their own. Well, we'll make our own idol that we can worship. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is what they did. And what happened to it? Mm-hmm. Yahweh had Moses break this down into powder and poured it out in the water and made them drink it. Okay, this was his treasure. This was the supplies for his house. Obviously, there was plenty of them that we're going to see. But when you look at this, Yahweh provided it out of nowhere, provided these things for them, so that when the house was to be made, we're going to be all set. Everything was going to be taken care of. Go to Exodus 36. Page 120. Will somebody read that for me there, please?
I will.
Thus shall Bezalel and Oholiab.
36:2-7.
Sorry.
That's right.
So then Moses called upon Bezalel and upon Oholiab and upon every man that was wise-hearted, in whose heart Yahweh had put wisdom, and everyone whose heart lifted him up to draw near unto the work to do it. And they took from the presence of Moses all the heave offering which the sons of Israel had brought in for the work of the holy service to do it. Howbeit they brought in unto him yet more freewill offerings morning by morning. Then came in all the wise men who were doing all the holy work, man by man, from his work which they were doing, and spake unto Moses, saying, more than enough are the people bringing in, more than is needed for the service pertaining to the work which Yahweh hath commanded to be done. So Moses gave commandment, and they passed a proclamation throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more material for the holy heave offering. So the people were restrained from bringing in, for the material was enough for all the work to make it and to spare.
That's it. That's the whole thing. And that's fantastic. So even after the abomination of the false idol, okay, we still had the people in it. And I love that, because it says Yahweh had put wisdom in everyone whose heart was lifted him up. In other words, for those who wanted to do this and to build this house, you've got it. You volunteer, I'll take you, and I will deliver the wisdom for what you're going to do. And so you have to think about this. And what's kind of cool about this, I didn't show this, but Bezalel, or whatever that name is there, that means the shadowing of El, or the protection of El. And the other one, it's Oholiab, or Ob, okay, which is father, Ob, and it's father's tent, or tent of father. Those are the two people. They were responsible. But what they did is they would take the masoner carpenters for rock, for the linens, for everything that they would do, the people who could make these and, you know, melt down the metals to make these and create them, and put this all together. And that, like I said, again, with this, the thing that I think we have to learn the most from that is there was enough. There was enough provided that they had to stop. No more. We've got plenty. It's all there. And when you read the dimensions, I can't remember how many pounds it was of all of them, but it was a lot. Remember the hole inside of the holy place and the Holy of Holies was lined with boards that were covered in gold. Okay, they were all laid with gold. Okay, and they were all the things that did, all of the utensils were solid gold. the cherubims on top of the ark itself had the wood on it, and it was all inlaid with gold, and all the furnishings on top of it were solid gold. The cherubim that went all the way over the top of it were solid gold. So all these things, lampstands, the directions for them, all solid gold. And you think about how much that would be, how much that would take to make that. And they had all of that and more. The big thing, though, is that, again, that the people that were willing, that wanted to do that, were filled with the wisdom to do it. And so for us, that's where we can be saved. Yeah. Well, I'm waiting. I'm like going, okay, how are you waiting? Are you ready? Are you ready if you're called on? So I'm like going, Yahweh, are you still building things? Are you still creating things? Yes, within people, within things, there's still things to be done. Are you willing? He'll give you wisdom to do it if you come before. If you come before to do it. The common folk can go in the outer court, but the priests only in the high places. And we kind of did all this already, jumped ahead a little bit. The veil separating Yahweh's presence for the man from man's was so thick and multi-layered that Josephia said that it would be tough for oxen, teams of oxen, to pull it apart.
Wow.
They said it was that full. It was that thick of how they did it. And it was all by specifications. But it was to completely seal off. Okay, I didn't read the Josephus. I did a search on that, and I kind of found a couple of those things. In the last temple, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Does anybody know how tall the temple was, the actual temple? Everything that I had read, it was like 60 foot within the Holy of Holies.
Okay,
and ripped from the top down. And if it's this thick that people can't rip this, I mean, obviously we know why it was ripped. It wasn't an earthquake that ripped it. Okay,
right.
It was ripped from the top down. And why? Because we couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. We couldn't do it. And it was changed. Everything's changed from this point forward. So you look at that, and I'm like, the significance of that, we always talk about that, always bring that up. But the significance of it, what happened and what took place. Because this was Yahweh wanting to dwell with us, but he had to keep the people from looking into the ark, coming into there, the Holy of Holies. What did the priest have to bring in, the high priest, when he went in? Anybody remember when he went in his one time a year for the atonement? Yes, and blood. And it was more than one trip in.
Right.
It was a whole process to go in, and he had to put the blood on top of the mercy seat or the propitiatory covering there between the cherubims. With his fingers, the blood would go on there. And it was specific on how to do this. Well, an animal had to die in order for this to happen.
Right.
And so this whole process was incredible. This just changed. Games changed. And that's why when they said, it took 46 years for us to build this temple, the one with the stone.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to build it in 3 days? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what happened. That was the beginning. Done. Rip. It's torn. The veil's done. There will be no veil now. It's gone. And last temple, now you can all approach Yahweh through Christ, and yet still many will not. Now think about this. You've got, of Yahweh's people, millions of people out in this camp around there. One person gets to go in one time a year.
Yeah.
That's it. And think about what it would be if it's like, hey, we're going to have open house here every 10 years. And everybody gets to come in here and kind of check this thing out that we're all centered around. And people would have been lining up to come in and see this. And yet here we are now where people, it's nothing, I don't really care. It doesn't mean anything to me. And so the same thing, people are refusing it. They're turning it down. And this is what we have, the Holy of Holies. So here's a mock-up, obviously, you see. Down here. I don't think they had a power hookup in the original one, but kind of like this here because you see there's nothing ornate or special on the outside that you see of this. There isn't. Okay? The inside of it is. The inside's been purified and all the utensils have been blessed and have been gone through to be taken care of. Here again is what you would see, and this would be the outside of it here. You see, these are the posts, and all of these are by specifications. This would be the entrance gate coming in, and then you have the altar of burnt offerings. Okay, you'd have labor for that was the washing, and then the door coming in. This is the holy place right here. And so this is set up here with the table of showbread that would always be on there. The menorah, or the lampstand. Okay, it was very specific on its making. The altar of incense, and then you have the veil, and then you have the Ark of the Covenant inside of here in the Holy of Holies. Who remembers what was in the Ark?
The buds from the Aaron
staff.
The staff of Aaron, the budding staff, the manna, and the commandments. That's right.
Quail.
That's exactly right. And so this was it, and it was specific, and it was mobile. They could move this. They could take this with them when they needed to go. This is an ark, and it's not this is something that I just pulled off the internet. It's based off what they said from the cubits. But the carrying poles they're showing here are 15 foot long, obviously not drawn to scale. This was how the ark was handled. Okay, this was how it was moved around. Okay, let's go to Leviticus. just a few pages to the right. Leviticus 16, verse 11 through 13, and I will read this on page 141. 11 through 13. Rather. So Aaron shall bring near the sin-bearing bullock himself, which is for himself, and shall put a propitiatory covering about himself and about his household, and they shall slay the sin-bearing bullock, which is for himself, and shall take the censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar from before Yahweh, and his hands full of fragrant incense, beaten small. So when he says hands, the other translations will say two. It's two handfuls, and it's finely crushed incense. So when it says he takes his hands, basically it's two handfuls of this. Okay, and his wet in the veil shall put the incense upon the fire before Yahweh, and the cloud or the smoke of the incense shall cover the propitiatory or the mercy seat which is over the testament, and he shall not die. Mm.
Okay. That's the only way.
This is important. It's important. Yeah. So there's an establishment of this. Now, when you look through this and you see this, a lot of times people think, well, God, it seems kind of cruel. People just wanted to look inside. They just wanted to see. And it was so important on how this had to be that the high priest had to follow all these things to the T, okay, or he would die. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at this, this is something that is very, very special. And so now everything's changed for us because the last anointing of blood was Christ. So as we go through here, that's what we're going to see. As to keep from dying, the high priest had to follow all these, and so that he could not look upon it. Like, well, this is incredible. I mean, it's absolutely astonishing, the setup and how it was to be done. And Yahweh told him, and why? So that Yahweh could dwell with them and put the cloud over them by night and the pillar of fire by day to dwell with them, to dwell with them. And yet still, he's ready to dwell with us, to become us, become a sanctuary, and yet people still refuse it. And people still will, even after the 1,000 years of Christ, people will refuse it. Okay? And so for those who do pick it and choose Yahweh and choose Christ, I think to myself, this is what he wants. He wants that fellowship. And there's nothing that we can give to Yahweh that he has not given to us outside of our worship and our love. That's it. That's all that we can do. And he's given it to us, made it available to us already. The Day of Atonement, during the entire ceremony, the only person allowed in the tabernacle was the high priest. So on the Day of Atonement, we've got a special set of rules. He's the only one in now. Okay, not just in the Holy of Holies, but inside of it. No one else could offer any sacrifices that day. No one else could atone for the sins of the people. What are we looking at here? We're looking at one person atoning for everybody. The symbology is just incredible. I mean, it's awesome. One person. You can't do any other sacrifices. One guy's going to go in. One guy's going to go in and take care of it. And he's going to atone for all of the people that were there. Only one man, the high priest, could bring Yahweh's forgiveness to the people. Flip over to Hebrews 8. And so there's so much symbology in it that it's incredible. Just the, you know, when you look at Abraham and Isaac and the story of it, and you see the symbology and how it lined up, how it paralleled with Christ, and you see that here as well with the atonement. So 8:1-6. And if somebody, you're not there yet, if somebody would read that for me, please. Aaron, would you mind doing that? 1
sure,
through 6?
I'll do it.
Thank you. Yeah. Totally in the wrong way.
Left hand column.
All right.
A crowning point on the things being spoken. Such a one as this have we, as high priest, who has sat down at the right hand, the throne of the majesty in the heavens, of the holy place, a public minister, and of the real tent which Yahweh pitched and not man. For every high priest, for the offering of both gifts and sacrifices, is constituted, whence it was necessary for this one also to have something which he might offer. If indeed, therefore, he had been on earth, he had not, in that case, even been a priest, since there are those who are offering the gifts according to the law, who indeed are rendering divine services with a glimpse and shadow of the holy things, or excuse me, of the heavenly things, even as Moses hath received intimation when about to complete the tent. Also, for see, saith he, thou shalt make all things according to the model which hath been pointed out to thee in the mount. But now hath he attained unto a more distinguished public ministry. But as much as of a better covenant also, he is mediator, which indeed upon better promises have been legislated.
That's it. And so it's wonderful when you see that. You're like going, yeah, this is it. A tent not made by man. Okay, a new temple to be created. That's where when they laughed at Christ for saying that he'll make it in 3 days, it was made in 3 days. Because it wasn't made by hands. It was from Yahweh that this is going to be a newness. Something's going to change. And the temple now is going to be available to anyone who wants to partake of it. Okay? Yahweh used the tabernacle, an example of heavenly things there, and that was 8:5. The tabernacle was for Yahweh to dwell with man. The final atonement was Yehoshua giving himself as a sacrifice. The biggest thing here that I always look at that is that Yahweh provided everything for them. He provided the instructions, provided everything that they needed. That's right, the wisdom, the experience, everything that was needed to do, he did. Also provided the sacrifice for the animals to be the sacrifice. Think about that with Abraham when he was going to sacrifice Isaac. And when he didn't, when the messenger told him to stop, what was there now? That was provided. Right. Here's the atonement. It's provided. It's given to us. What wasn't there is now there. And so the same thing. We see that the symbology or the parallelism between them. Yahweh also provided the building and sacrifice for the last temple, his only begotten son. Okay. Go to, just flip it over here, actually same page here, and I'll read this. This is Hebrews 9:11-15. Okay, 9 starting in verse 11. 229. But when Christ approached as high priest of the coming good things. Now remember, one person for atonement. One person went in. That's it. By yourself, okay? And here we are. But when Christ approached as high priest of the coming good things through the greater and more perfect tent, not made by hand. Now, I want you to look at the note there for B and C, and we're going to stop here for just a second there. Okay, is that it here? Hold on here. It might be the A. Okay, yeah, it is. It's A that we're looking at. But when Christ approached, you see the note there for A, and it refers over to verse 24, right to the right of that, just a hair over. And I'm going to read that. For not into a holy place made by hand entered Christ. Okay? And so, but when Christ approached, as Christ is the approach offering, and when Christ approached as high priest of the coming good things through the greater and more perfect tent, not made by hand, that is not of this creation, nor yet through blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered once for all into the holy place. Age abiding, redemption discovering, in verse 13, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the profane halloweth unto the purity of the flesh. And then I'm going to read 14. Well, yeah, I'm going through 15. Never mind. I'm sorry. How much rather shall the blood of Christ, who through age abided spirit, offered himself unspotted unto Yahweh, purify our conscience from dead works to the rendering of divine service unto a living Elohim or God, Yahweh? For this cause of a new covenant is he mediator, to the end that death coming to pass for the redemption of the transgressions against the first covenant, the called might receive the promise of the age-abiding inheritance.
Wow.
Okay, and that's it. And so this is, Christ came in and made the approach, okay, by himself and gave his blood for the atonement. And so when you see this, you're like going, this is absolutely incredible, the assimilations between it. So as Christ reads the Old Testament and the scrolls and sees this, he can see things that are going to happen and the wisdom that's going to happen and why it was so important for the things that were done and what changed. Because now he changed and went into his Holy of Holies was not created by man. The blood atonement. Blood from the animals to atone for the sins on the mercy seat. Multiple times you kind of cover that. Yahshua's blood for the atonement for all mankind. And I want to kind of take one. I don't know if it's in here. I may be jumping ahead on here. I can't remember where it was or if I took it out. But the making of it was very, I told you, it was very distinct on the specs on how to make it. The altar was made of wood, covered with bronze. You don't make an altar that you put burning sacrifices on out of wood and cover it with bronze. You don't. This did. And it was big. It was about the size of a big table. Okay? It was wood. And then it was covered with bronze. And so you think about that. How were most of the fires that were the offers lit? They were lit by Yahweh. Okay, they were lit by Yahweh. It would melt it out. It would burn up. They burned these animals down to ash. Down to ash. And then even the ash, it was specific what had to take place with the ash. You put something that hot to melt down an animal and cook an animal, I'm talking a bull, that fire's got to be darn hot. Darn hot. And it was made out of wood, covered with bronze. And I'm like, it's an altar of wood. That's pretty cool. Anyways, let's go to 1 John 1. 1 John 1, and I'll help y'all out here. That's going to be on page 245. And if somebody would read that for me, verse or chapter 1, 6 through 9, on page 245.
I'll read.
Thank you.
He that saith that in him he abideth ought, just as he walketh, himself also being walking. Beloved, no new commandment am I writing unto you, but an old commandment which ye have been holding from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard. Again.
Hey, where are you in there? First John 1:6.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It's on 245. 1:6. It's the second chapter starts right on the left or the right side column. It's a really short one.
Oh, you were in chapter 2.
Am I in chapter 2?
Yeah, two starts off in the middle of that page, right at the top there.
Okay, sorry guys.
No problem.
If we say we have fellowship with him, and in darkness are walking, we are dealing falsely, and not doing the truth. Whereas if in the light we are walking, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yehoshua his son is cleansing us from all sins. If we say sin we have none, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we are confessing our sins, faithful is he and righteous, that he should forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's it. And so when Christ was telling them to drink the blood, that's creepy. Drink this blood in remembrance. And it was to cleanse. This was the atoning. Okay, the same way the high priest put this on the mercy seat. For what? Why? Okay, because that was what was required. And when Christ says, drink my blood. Okay, this is what he's talking about. This is the cleansing. This is what this is. This is what he was referring to of this. And that's why it says there that through the blood that you come before, that he is just and faithful to relieve you from that. So we don't have to sacrifice. We don't have to do those things. We don't have to do the burnt offerings because Christ did it all. It was taken care of. And now from that, though, what happened is this. There was one ark. There was one ark. And the people all protected it and came before it. And Yahweh was there in it. And then it was gone because the veil was torn, and now it was going to be dwelling within us. Within us. And so it's so important. That's why I say when you look at the stars, to always have that as a covenant, to remember that what we have been given with Yahweh in us through Christ, that we have become that. That there is no reason. There is no need for an ark anymore. There's no reason for the temple anymore because we are it. Christ did this so that we would have the authorization to have Yahweh through Christ. So anyways, gifts from Yahweh here as we close. Yahweh created and provided and made all the things available for us. And so there's only a few things that we can actually do for Yahweh to actually pay back, if you will, or to be able to come before him. The things that bless Yahweh. And that's obedience, faith, and worship. And that's what Chuck and I were talking about, that the worship is one way. We're not sitting down going through a laundry list of, can I have this? I need this, mm-hmm. and type of things. That's important to have that conversation with Yahweh. But when you come before to bow down, literally bow down, and just worship. Because what you're doing is you're pouring out to Yahweh. This is what we should be doing. This is what Yahweh wants. Yahweh wants to dwell within us. Okay? And for us to do this is important as a high priest. Almost think of that I am a high priest of the creation that was within me. that I am going to tend to it. I will tend to these things, and I will do what is required by faith, by obedience, and by worship coming before. Okay? Yahweh has always wanted to dwell with men, to fellowship with us. It was taken from Adam and Eve and restored through Christ. Okay? And that is all. I'll go ahead and close here and then have a word for those people who are watching. Yahweh, we just thank you for we thank you for this time of year, and we thank you, Christ, for what you have done for us. That you are our approach offering. That you created us into new creatures, new beings. That as we come before you, that we have your authority, the use of your name, and that we are able to speak these things. That we are able to do mighty works through you, as we are the body and the seated with you in the heavenlies on the right side of our Father. We thank you for that. That we are fellow heirs. That we are fellow heirs of yours. And so we thank you for that. That we remind ourselves of these things. That we come before you, expecting and waiting for tasks and for things to do, and that we have that willingness of mind and heart to do those things that you call us to do. And as you do this, that you will fill us with the wisdom that was required, that we walk in faith to be well-pleasing for you. And so we thank you for this. We thank you again for upcoming Christmas season, that even though we celebrate this time of year, we thank you, Christ, for for you coming, the only begotten of your Father. We thank you that you walked upon this earth, that you walked and you were unspotted, that you were a perfect sacrifice. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for what you have enabled us all to have now. And so we watch for you in the sky and the heaven as a returning for this body. We thank you and speak this all in your Son's name, Christ Jesus. Know that I am creeping upon you, that I am calling upon you to see me and to know me, that I have shown you things, I've shown you visions, and I've shown you dreams, and I'm trying to pour out things upon you, that as you come before me, not as an amazement, but for a desire that I have to reach you and to work with you. Come before me knowing that It is of my desire to have you call before me and come before me and speak to me. For I am calling to you this day that I may hear from you and know the desires of your heart and hear you speak to me, that you are to be a leader, that you are to hold above others, to call those around you, to rebuke those around you, to speak truth to those around you, that the freedom comes through my words, that I of me is justice and righteousness, and as you hear my words, I will utter them upon your tongue and speak these things, that it is through you that I am a mouthpiece. And so open your heart and open up your mind and your on your lips to speak these things, and start by coming to me in private and speaking the wonderful things. Search out my word and see the stories that I've given to you, that as you open these things, that it will be as lights. It will be as lights turning on in your mind, that I'm showing you things, that I'm connecting things within you, that you may be able to have wisdom and be able to speak the mighty works that I have, and I will speak through you. And so do not be afraid. Do not be silenced by the works of the wicked one, that it is always trying to stifle and always trying to shut these things down. But I'm calling to you that an inheritance of great multitude I have for those who follow my ways and choose me and do the things that I have told them and requested them to do.